Morning, Rod.
Hey, Rod Butterworth.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, to be back
sir.
With you.
Good to have you.
He's our favorite Italian.
Yeah, you can tell he's born in Italy.
You wish. Tell the folks your background. I'd always love to hear you bring us up to speed on where you were at before coming to the United States.
Oh, goodness. Well, I was in the British Royal Air Force for 2 years, stationed on the island of Cyprus, which is where the Apostle Paul went on his first missionary journey, where I met my first wonderful wife, who we were married for 42 years. And then came as an immigrant to America in 1963, and I want you to know that I came legally, okay?
Ah, sure. You were one of the rare. Well, back in those days, you weren't rare, but today you would be.
Right. And I've been in ministry all my life, and after finding myself in Missouri, which surprised me, the Lord opened up this ministry for me at the Creation Experience Museum, and we've now had over 37,000 visitors come through so far.
Wow. How did you come to know the Lord in the first place?
Oh, well, a little country church in England. My school buddy went there and invited me to come there and go to Sunday school and church, and I did. And that's when I heard the gospel. And one night I went home. I was 13 years old, and I knelt down by my bed, and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. Praise over 65, 67 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
And that was the beginning of my spiritual journey.
Hmm. Well, I know that in Stratford, you had a museum area there.
We started there, yes.
And then many, many times that you and your staff would come on the program and talk about your plans. And it seems like, if we kind of walk this journey a little bit, that little steps are continuing to make their way into a place where you'd like to see it even bigger and better.
That's true. We started out in a very small way in the little town of Stratford. And we were there for 6 years, but from the very beginning, we had the vision for Branson. I used to tell this story quite a bit. I was going along the 76th Strip in 2007 with my friend Jim. We stopped in a museum, another museum, and I bought a little book, and I have it in my office today. On the front cover, it says, "It's true, we came from slime." Went home, meditated on that. And God spoke to me very directly in my heart, Branson needs something better than that. So that's how the vision actually started. But it was always to be for Branson. We came down here in those early days, 2007, 2008, and had one of the real estate gentlemen who used to be here in Branson, Rex Grady, drive us around and show us property that was available. We didn't have any money to speak of. But he was showing this property. So, well, this acreage over there is available. It's $3.2 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we went to another one. Oh, that's much better. It's only $2.1 million. Well, we went home and we prayed. And for 6 years, we continued to pray and believe until God miraculously opened up our current location, which we are leasing. It's not our own property, the ministry's own property.
Sure.
Which is, a good landmark is... People know where that big cross is.
Correct.
Where the 160 crosses the 65 highway. And we've been there now for, this is our seventh year. And we've had so many people come through, all ages, young people, old people. As I said, over 37,000 visitors. They all get to hear that there is a God who has created all things. And you need to know him personally. And that, in a nutshell, says what we do.
Well, Rod, you've done a good job doing it. I don't know how you get all your artifacts and your history and your knowledge, but I had something happen yesterday that I'll throw out to you, and then we want to get into the new site and what the activities that are coming up this weekend and get all that in if we can, Keith.
All right. Let's do it.
Well, no, I didn't say anything about syrup. I thought you were going to say
you
something.
You already did.
Yeah, but that was earlier.
Well, yeah.
So
now you're off.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Gotcha. You're good.
That's a sticky subject.
Yes, it is a sticky subject. And he says he's going to bring you a bottle next time.
Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to a senior center. It's not seniors that graduated from high school. These are seniors that make you and I look like we're still in the young people's group. Mm-hmm. Where if you're 71 or 72, you're pretty young when you're there. And the lesson yesterday was wrapping up on David and sneaking into the camp and taking the spear, the jug of water. I just think this is amazing, okay? And God, in David's mind, was so aware of God's appointing Saul, mm-hmm. he wasn't going to touch him. He had every chance in the world to do that. But during the morning before I went, I got to thinking of all the people in the world and that God knows each one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like, you know, all of us sitting in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And for those moments, I'm having this just unbelievable sense. How big is this God? Mm. And then big enough when you think of the universe. Yes. We had Louis Giglio the other day on the star, talked about the stars.
Yes.
Yes. The sun, and we talk about the sun. If the sun was a little bit closer, what, Keith?
Oh, we'd burn up.
And if it was a little farther away?
We'd freeze.
It's just in the right place.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think as we walk through, and I've got a list of stuff we could have talked about this morning with what's happens in Washington and administration and what, and I've just got to let those things play out. And I've got to sit back and listen to people like you and others that say, wait a minute, we serve a big, big, awesome God.
Amen, yes. He's a personal God. That's what makes the difference. He's a personal God, and he knows. I mean, he knew about Jeremiah, for example, before he was born and what his God's plan for his life was going to be. He's a personal God. And that's why one of the reasons why we do something a little different in our Creation Experience Museum is that we have tour guides that are trained and they give guided tours because we want to interact with the people personally, just like God wants to interact with us personally. We want to interact with our guests personally and take every opportunity to pray for them, whatever their needs may be. And so we're training our tour guides to do that. And that's why I think it's wonderful that God led us to use the name of our museum, Creation Experience Museum. We actually really want people to experience God when they come through our museum, when they see the evidence for God's creation everywhere. I mean, we could talk for hours and hours. I mean, God is a mathematician. Did you know that?
It's crazy.
Did you know that the moon is rotating on its own axis? It's going around the earth. Our planet that we're on is rotating on its own axis. And yet everything is so mathematically precise that we can only see from this earth, we can only see one side of the moon. That's just one simple example of the amazing orderliness and complexity of God's creation, just in that our own little solar system.
Can you imagine our planet is going around and it's going around in itself and it's going this way? If the moon was out of kilter just a little bit as we came around, it got on the backside, we'd run off and leave it.
Well, the moon,
it doesn't happen.
It is actually leaving our solar system very, 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 very slowly. And by the fact that us astronauts actually installed reflectors on the moon, by shining a laser beam from Earth, they can pick up those reflectors and at certain times, they can get an exact measurement of where the moon is. It is very, very slowly leaving this planet. But don't worry, it's not going to happen in your lifetime.
And a question, have you had the opportunity to see any of the camera shots from the space station?
Yes.
When you look out that window of the space station,
yes,
and you look back at our little Earth right there, it's another way of just saying, wow.
But would you believe, in spite of that, we've had a few families come to our museum, and I remember one family, for example, not many, just a few, said, before we go into the museum, we want you to know that we believe in a flat Earth.
Okay.
Flat, like this table?
Yes.
Really?
So I just smiled and I say to them, I'd like to send you up with the next astronaut, you know.
Really?
Yeah, there is actually a Flat Earth Society you can get online.
I did not know that.
Yes, and it's nonsense, but they make it sound very scientific.
But you know what, though? It's the deception.
It is.
Satan
deception.
Goes as any way that he wants to. And that's why it's so important that we have programs like this with people like you, just to reinforce the fact that we're not alone, okay?
Right.
But I just can't get over when she was doing the little tour that I sent to you, Keith. Her hair was all frizzed up because the
weightlessness.
The weightlessness was up.
Yeah.
He was talking, and out the window, you're looking and says, is this for real? You're looking out here and you're watching the Earth circle below it. Now, we move along. We're by the we're in the leased space by the cross at 160.
Yes.
And something happens several months ago concerning some acreage. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, we were praying after, you know, realizing how expensive land was in this area, Branson. We were praying for God to provide a place. We thought maybe 10, 15, 20 acres, you know, we were thinking of. And then guess what? God gave us 50 acres. Just 2 miles from our current location, closer to Branson, right where the Ozark Mountain Highway comes in, that intersection, except we're on the east side of the highway, right by the outer road there. We'll have wonderful visibility. So that's the new property that God is giving us.
Now let's go ahead and pinpoint.
Highway F, right?
There's a brand new Shell station.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right there.
That's right.
Very, very handy.
Yes.
Very good landmark for you.
Yes.
And it starts to already improve that intersection.
Absolutely, yes. And actually, the little lane that goes off of the outer road there onto our property provides access to a cell tower that's further down on our property. But we actually got permission to call that Creation Lane, and that is our actual official address.
Oh, 911, that's good.
Our official address is 200 Creation Lane.
That's wonderful.
That's good. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's good.
So now we're trusting God for the ability, the finances to go ahead with that first building and also to pay off the loan. Okay, let me back up a little bit. The property was assessed by the bank as over $700,000.
Okay.
God gave it to us for $350,000.
Wow. That is
And since that time, which is a couple of years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, God has enabled us through our museum, free admission, donations only, we've almost paid $100,000 off already on that loan. We only owe $250,000 now to finish the payment for the land. And then we're concentrating on the building, the new buildings. So, you know, one thing that is hard for us to do, but the Bible talks about it quite a bit, wait on the Lord, you know. And so we've been waiting. But we've not just been waiting, we've been waiting and praying, waiting and praying, waiting and praying. And we've seen God do this, taking us from Stratford to where we are now and to where we're going to be with God's provision.
You know, it's so unique that you bring that up because the gentleman that got out of the car with the stuck door,
yes,
he said, you know what, I just need to be patient.
Yes.
I just need to be patient.
It's a hard thing to do.
And I said, there'll be the right thing. I said, I'm going to mention on my show on Monday morning with Keith and I, and who knows? But, I mean, the attitude that this young man's got, hey, look, I'll just wait, just like you just said. But it's hard to wait upon the Lord because we want to, in all our ways, acknowledge him, it says.
Yes.
And we want to climb up the wall, look on the other side, what is it, rather than just being patient. And I need that for me this morning, too.
Well, yes, we all need that patience, and but we should wait in faith. That's the key right there. To wait in faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Turn that around. You could say, with faith, then, we are pleasing God. Wow, that's something exciting to think about. If we are having faith, we're actually pleasing God.
And that faith is in what, Keith? Faith is what's unseen.
Yeah. You can't touch it and reach out to it. And faith is hard for some people. And some people will say to you, well, I can't have faith in Jesus because I can't see him. And the next breath they take, which they can't see, gives them life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's coming up this weekend?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Well, we're calling it Creation Experience Days. And we've had conferences before here in Branson. We rented a big motel one time, a few times, Radisson. We've never had an outdoor conference before, so we're going to have a tent seating about 100 people. Hope people feel comfortable. We can try and space out the seats a little bit if we need to. Going to have extra seats besides that, and we're trying to make it a fun day, but a real educational day because we're having speakers in the tent. I'm starting it off with a real fun one that I love to give, a session from 4 p.m. on Friday. That's when the event starts. Friday the 11th is when we start this outdoor conference. And I'm doing a real fun one. I'm going to be talking on dinosaurs and time.
So I want to stop there for just a minute before we go into the other activities and give us a little insight into dinosaurs and time.
Oh, okay. The Bible indicates that being land creatures, most of them, the dinosaurs, they would have been contemporary with humans. But of course, the secular world says no. dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Well, there's some problems with that scientifically, apart from the Bible, and that is that starting around 2005, maybe a little before and since that time, scientists in universities like Montana State University was where one particular situation developed. They've been finding blood cells and soft tissue in a dinosaur bone that they claim is 65 million years old. Now, what do you think? Do you think soft tissue and blood cells in a dinosaur bone could survive in that bone for 65 million years? Well, here's what scientists say, other scientists, that is. No, of course not. Ridiculous. Impossible. And yet, the scientists who find those things inside the dinosaur bones still insist on believing that the bones are 65 million years old. Why? Because if they don't, and they're working in the evolutionary field, and this is actually happening, they will lose their job. They will be fired if they say, looks like this creature must have been living more recently. You know, there's no surprise, that no big mystery about why dinosaurs died out. If they're not living today, there's no big mystery. There's a place in Africa, the Congo, where possibly there could be a few hangovers. But no big mystery. I mean, we're losing that beautiful cheetah in Africa today. It's on the endangered list. No big mystery that we're losing animals. We lost the dodo bird. We have a little model of the dodo bird in the museum. They became extinct also. So the dinosaurs died out. Lack of the right kind of food. Maybe a local hero wanted to, you know, be more of a hero and kill one. Maybe the atmosphere changed. There's all kinds of things scientifically. But why do we talk about dinosaurs? Because the evidence actually shows that just up until several hundred years ago, there's actual evidence of them being contemporary with humans. We have evidence from footprints, which the evolutionists, of course, don't want to even consider. And you won't find these things that we mentioned in the museum today. You'll never find them mentioned or shown on National Geographic, NOVA, Smithsonian, or Discovery Channel, rather. Right. They will never mention anything connected with dinosaurs at the Bible. They've always got to cling to that one idea, and it's just an idea that dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago.
Every time, and maybe I'm just tainted, every time I hear a bone, I hear of a bone being found, and they throw out these ridiculous millions and millions and millions of years. Where does that come from? Who guessed it? Who tried to date it? What, you know, we know one thing. We know in the scriptures we can go back and track that back to almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on this earth.
Amen, yes.
And then we can track that back. I don't know when Adam and Eve came, and maybe you've got some dating on that that you can help us with. But from what I understand, what I believe, we don't have that many millions of years.
No, the Bible, you certainly cannot get millions of years from the Bible. And one of the things we go by is the genealogies. You know, the Jewish people were very meticulous. Just read those long name lists in the book of Leviticus, for example, which is a good way if you want to go to sleep, you know.
Right.
But they were very meticulous in recording all those dates. And so when the Bible tells us that such and such a person lived so many years and he died at the age of 130, whatever,
right.
And then you can actually trace the time back. And so that would come to approximately 6,000 years, maybe a little more. We don't want to be, you know,
sure,
very specific there, but not millions of years. I mean, even 1 million years would be, you know, if there's so many things from science. If, for example, just throw this out real quickly, the oceans, for example, if this planet had been here just 1 million years or a few more million years, the ocean would be so full of sodium and salt we could practically walk over it. Because we know, scientists know today, the rate that sodium is going into the ocean and the rate that it's coming out. That's science, you know. But you can't extrapolate backwards millions of years. There'd be nothing living in the ocean. It would all be too full of sodium and salt. That's just one example of many. Another would be the magnetic field that protects this planet from the harmful rays of the Earth. Based on that knowledge of the decay of the magnetic field, human beings could not have lived on this planet just 10,000 years ago. Now, that's real science. But people don't want to mention those things from the secular world because it kind of gets a little too close to the Bible.
Keith, does that help you at all when you hear, when you track? Because you're right, I have been, I call listening through the Old Testament many, many times. You get to these names, and this is how many sons he had, and they recorded them exactly. This one had 120, and there's 140, and 130, and here's your name, here's your ages. And so you could take the time and work your way back to get that number. So give me that age that you roughly, you say, could have been that we use as an example.
Approximately 6,000 years, yes.
Keith?
Well, I remember as a kiddo, before I knew the Lord, we'd go to the Griffith Park Observatory, and there you heard about millions and millions and millions of years. And I didn't know any different, but it is refreshing to sit here at the table and be able to talk about things that we believe and that we can document by the Bible. And whether it's 6,002 or 6,500 years, 6,500, we don't know exactly, but it's not millions and millions and millions. Tell me about this event this weekend, Rod, and when it starts and where it's at and how long it's going to go.
Well, it's on the new location at 200 Creation Lane. And that way, but you can find that on your GPS, by the way. Okay. It'll take you right there. And it starts this week on Friday, the 11th, at 4 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. There's going to be three sessions on the Friday with breaks in between. And then on Saturday, it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday the 12th. I'll be giving a short history of this ministry, starting off with. Then we have Dr. Fred Groves, who our biologist professor, who also will be speaking on the Friday night. He'll be speaking on an interesting subject. What about those missing links? Is one of his speeches, for example. Mm. And we're going to actually have a symbolic tree felling. There's lots of trees, you know, on the property where the museum's going to be. One of our friends is going to fell one of the trees, just symbolically.
Good.
And in another 1 hour break, the lunch period between 11:45 and 12:45. We're going to have a chainsaw artist there who's going to be doing something. And we'll have some bouncy houses for the kids. We'll have a little petting zoo with some little lambs and goats, I think. And free hamburgers and hot dogs.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
And the admission is free.
It is free. Wow. Absolutely free, okay. Yes.
4 o'clock on Friday, 9 o'clock on Saturday.
Correct. Those are the starting times.
Starting times. Very good. Wow. That sounds fun. And this is at the new location. Again, 200...
Creation Lane.
And
yes.
You can find that in the GPS already.
You can. It'll take you right there.
Rod, stay with us, if you will, please, on the other side of 8. We want to continue some of our conversation, just maybe some popcorn questions. But one more time, let's give them the dates and times of the event.
June the 11th from 4 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. And Saturday, June the 12th from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
And hot dogs, hamburgers going to be there, bounce houses for the kids.
Yes.
Petting zoo, going to be a lot of fun, sounds like.
A fossil tent, and of course we'll have our bookstore there as well.
Right.
Yes.
And the tree
It failed after it fell.
This is kind of in place of a groundbreaking, right? We're going to
symbolic.
Take a tree down, and that will signify things are
And you know what's in that tree when it falls?
Sap.
Yeah, you know what sap is?
Sap is what they use to make Butterworth
syrup. You're absolutely right.
Now, baby, you better tap all those trees, Rod. You could be missing $1 million worth of syrup.
Right.
I don't think it's a right tree.
Could not be. Could be cedar, right? Hey, tell me, before we go to the break, who's your guest in the studio this morning? Who are your friends?
We have one of our tour guides, Dennis Carroll, and his wife, Marilyn. And Marilyn helps tremendously in the desk. When people come by, you know, to buy books from the bookstore, or people come in and she welcomes them. And so we have greeters, and she's one of them.
Marilyn and Dennis, welcome.
And Dennis is one of our wonderful children. And they, by the way, they felt led to be a part of this ministry. They lived in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And they found out about this ministry, and God spoke to them. They actually sold their house by faith and came to Ms. Branson here by faith, found a house to live here, and they came because they wanted to be involved in this ministry.
I don't see any orange or Oklahoma Joes on them, so I'm going to have to make sure that they are from Stillwater, because Oklahoma Joe took a wonderful piece of gas pipe about probably 18 to 20 inches, and he made the best smoker before he sold out to somebody else. Hey, we're coming back. I want to speak to the tour guide here in just a minute on Good Morning Ozarks. Do you mind staying with us just to have a general conversation?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Keith?
At Rod Butterworth Creation Experience. It's right there where the cross is at 160 and 65. Check it out.
If you hear the term flapjack, what do you think of?
Syrup.
I don't.
What?
I
what
think
do you
pancakes.
Think of? Oh, yeah, but you got to have syrup on a pancake.
That's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Did I
you
did.
Bring that up because I said flapjacks or because I said Butterworth?
No, you didn't say Butterworth. You said flapjacks. Yeah. And I'm thinking flapjacks. If you have flapjacks, you got to have syrup, a little butter. Yeah, you're good to go.
Sticky. Good. Let it drip down your front.
I heard
I just want to thank you for keep saying Butterworth because people are getting that better now because I'm often called Butterfield.
Ah.
The worst was Butterworm. So thank you
Butterworm,
so much.
Butterworm, that's not too good.
Thank you so much.
In fact, one of the reasons I can bring it up is I unpacked the groceries the other day and my wife had bought Miss Butterworth. And I said, honey, she said, you can't tell the difference. Believe me. You can tell them.
What kind of syrup do
log
you want?
Log cabin, man. The real thin
you
one.
You are the log cabin guy?
Oh, my goodness, yes. What do you think?
I don't think you can tell the difference.
Dennis, am I right?
I'm a log cabin guy myself.
Thank you. You look like a good, good man. Hey, I want to take just a minute and flip over to you for just a second. And Keith and I just came to the museum, and we're friends, and we walked in. And what I like is the fact of what you all do. You could be an atheist. You don't have to believe. Nobody's going to point what I call the bony finger of condemnation. Right. We're here to give information.
Right.
And you know, we've talked about it for years. That's what Ken Ham and them do at the Creation Museum.
Yes, yes.
You come in and you look at it, and then you make your decision. For instance, I have a piece of white paper here, Keith.
Yes.
Okay? And it's very white. And I remember them doing this at the Creation Museum, and they show the individuals from the beginning of kind of being a darker skin. It says, you're not white. And they hold the paper up next to your face. Says, you're right. We're not white. Okay, that's white. We're more of a tannish kind of skin,
yeah,
Keith.
Yeah, beige.
Okay, so let's walk in like we just walked in, and you introduced yourself to us. Okay, and we're getting ready to start the tour. Kind of walk us through what we would do and what we would see at the museum.
Okay. Well, the first thing we do is we have a 5-minute video that tells a little bit about the founding of our country, and then we move into the museum. And we start out with the days of creation, and we believe those are regular 24-hour days because of how it's worded in the Genesis 1, and it there's evening, morning, number, and day, and that signifies a regular 24-hour day. And we go on from there and talk about DNA.
Stop a minute. So. At that point right there, are you starting to get any questions at all about the 24 hours? Do you get any questions whatsoever on the 6 days in the very beginning? Are people pretty well listening and just taking it in?
My experience is they're pretty well listening and taking it in. I haven't had personally anybody really disagree with me much on that, although I have later on during the tour,
sure.
Somebody will bring up millions of years
sure,
and so on, but we go back to... Again, the scriptures, and go from there.
So let me ask you both how important it is that we state our position without being derogatory or without, because, you know, the scripture tells us to be kind to those that don't believe the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you all handle that to make sure that, like Keith pushing my button on the syrup, that they're not pushing your button in a way that they can kind of throw you off and say, well, come on now, any idiot would believe this. Well, you're not going to say that, and we know that. How do you handle that in the discussions?
Well, it relates to the matter, a very important matter, of the authority of the scriptures. Are we going to make sure that they are our authority or not? Or are we going to let other ideas come in? So we try to encourage people to, you know, in fact, I say something usually. I say, we're kind of radical here at this museum in this sense. We say, why not accept God's word, the Bible, just exactly the way he has given it to us and be very careful about adding to it. Be very careful about subtracting from it. So that's what we do. We want to establish the authority of the Bible in people's hearts and minds. You know, let's look at the Bible. No matter what we've been taught, no matter what we've been told, let's be open enough to look at the scriptures and see what it actually says. When you go to Exodus 20, for example, which I'm sure Dennis was getting ready to mention it, it says clearly, remember the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, you know, which was obviously a normal 24-hour day. And in the same breath, God says, for in 6 days, the same Hebrew word for day, he created everything, the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. So it's clear from the scriptures, you know, that if you're going to believe the Bible, you know, for example, on another subject quickly, about the flood, a lot of people have been taught that there wasn't a really worldwide flood. But all we have to do is go back to the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. Jesus said the flood came and took them all away, meaning all those who were not preserved in the ark. So there we go. So we want to establish the authority of the Bible, whether it's on the age of the earth, you know. I mean, 6,000 years, do you ever stop and think about it? That's a long time, mm-hmm. 6,000 years. And recorded history, yes, only goes back 5,000 to 6,000 years.
Think about that, Keith.
Wow. That's,
you know, and the other thing that I enjoy as I'm listening to, in the New Testament, to where when the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the seas were trying to pin Jesus to the wall.
Yes.
When you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah, yes.
I and the Father are one.
Wow.
Okay? The other thing that he says is, I was there during the creation. He tells us that. Oh. Well, that just drove them up a wall. They couldn't stand that. Yeah. Let's go back now. You were headed into DNA. It's mm-hmm. one of Keith's favorite areas.
Yeah, that's right.
When we talk about, you know, what DNA is, and that we used to think that the cell was very simple, but then we got the electron microscope and see how incredibly complex it is. There's DNA in every single cell, and the way DNA is made, it is information, but the DNA makes the information that makes the DNA. Impossible for that to evolve, and if any part of that is not there, we do not have life. And there's DNA in every single cell, plant, animal, and human. Then we go on to go to the garden. We have a display that, in fact, Dr. Rod's wife made on the Garden of Eden, and talk about the Ken Ham says it's the saddest day in the history of the universe, where we have Adam and Eve that were created perfect, put in a perfect garden, and then we talk about the sin, and that in the midst of judgment there, when God judged them, he gave a promise that the seed of Eve would crush the head of the serpent. Now, the serpent would bruise his heel, mm-hmm. but her seed would crush the head of the serpent. And so we have, when Adam and Eve sinned, their relationship with God was broken. But when Jesus Christ came, he came to restore that relationship.
In that Garden of Eden, when they found themselves stark naked, and now, boy, we're embarrassed, and there was no embarrassment before that, Keith.
Right.
And then the animals were killed, and I had it brought to my attention that the sacrifice was already made then. Does anybody want to touch on that?
Well, yes, after they sinned, God showed from the very beginning the only way to back to have a relationship with God. And it was through the shedding of innocent blood. And in that case, it was the innocent blood of an animal, which pictured looking forward to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So all the way through the Old Testament, they were using the blood of innocent animals as symbolic, you know, for the temporary mm-hmm. forgiveness of sins. But God's plan was, in his wisdom and sovereignty, at the right time in the history of this planet, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, who became the perfect sacrifice by shedding his sinless blood on the cross. And so this actually leads to where we can actually begin in the museum, a creation museum. We can actually insert the spiritual message that, hey, God wants to have a relationship with us, and that's what we do.
After you come out of the DNA section and you're in the Garden of Eden section, what's after that?
After that, we go out of the garden, because okay. One of the consequences of sin was that Adam and Eve had to leave the garden.
Right.
Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we leave the garden at that time. Then we talk about Noah's the flood of Noah's day, and all the different scientific things concerned with that. In that, you know, the flood was it was worldwide. The Bible says that it covered the highest mountains to a depth of about 22 to 23 feet. Water seeks its own level, so it would have to be worldwide. Also, there are people that say that it was just a tranquil flood. Well, all the fountains of the great deep breaking open doesn't sound real tranquil to me.
Right.
And that's evidence of that would be the tectonic plates. Probably the continents were separated at that time. Then Psalm 104 says towards the end of the flood that the mountains rose and the valleys sank to the place where they are. And so the mountains are probably higher now than they were then. There are marine fossils on the top of Mount Everest and on every tall mountain that you find around the world. The only way that could happen is they had to have been buried in water.
We have shells on. We have shells, yep. Ocean shells on hills around here, right here in Missouri.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Keith, think about that.
Wow. Well, we'd been pretty deep in the water if the water went 20-something feet above the tallest mountain. Imagine how deep we'd be. We're at about 1,200 average feet, right, above sea level now. Imagine how deep underwater we were in those flood days.
Well, we have to remember that the mountains were actually not mountains like we know them today. They were more like hills. Mm-hmm. Mount Everest, of course, was much, much lower at that time.
Oh.
In fact, it was pushed up after the flood and is still going up to this day, a few inches a year.
You bring up a great point, and I'm going to get my train of thought here on the water. Oh, I know what it was. It wasn't just the rain. Okay,
right.
And you just brought that up. It's all the underground, these massive underground streams that we've got, Keith.
Springs right here in our area.
Now,
absolutely.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist or somebody with a lot of education to just go to your news media and pick out anything. Just Google flood in small towns. And all of a sudden you see water that just comes out of nowhere, Keith.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yep.
That's just in one area. Can you imagine 40 days of that unleashing the streams and the waters underneath? I personally don't have any trouble believing with how it could be flooded. Now, from a human perspective, I do have to send back and say I can't see it. But, example, you know going up 44, Keith, towards Waynesville?
Yes.
And a number of years ago, the I-44 was closed?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, you drive by there after it's open, and you look down at the Ruby Dew or whichever that was that flooded there, and you go, how? There's no way.
How did water get up here?
Yeah, exactly right. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, that of course, in those floods, the water comes from downstream, but in the flood, there would have been the water would have come up from the fountains of the great deep breaking open. And my understanding is that they're underneath the crust of the surface. There's seven times the amount of water that we see in the oceans today. That's a lot of water.
A lot of water. Now, let me ask you all a question. You, Mr. Butterworth, you can be the judge of this. I think I read this the other day. I want to get close and see, Keith, if you can get there. What percentage of the Earth's surface is water?
I think it's something like 70% or so.
You're very close, 71%, they say, yes.
Right. And with that, Dennis, we're at a point in the museum where I got to go over here and get a drink or something because we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back to continue our tour through the Creation Experience Museum. Rod Butterworth and Dennis, one of the tour guides up at the Creation Experience Museum.
Let me help him. Dennis, what's your last name?
Carroll.
Dennis Carroll. Our guide today, we started out at the Creation Museum, and we're now in the flood area. We're leaving the flood area, and where are we going next, Dennis?
Well, there are several places we can go, and I usually talk about the different fossils and how the flood of Noah explains the fossils, because to make a fossil, you have to have the item buried quickly and a lot of pressure to squeeze out the water and oxygen, then the minerals from the sediment permeate the bone or the leaf or the branch, whatever, and turn it into a fossil. And then we talk about some of the different fossils that we have there in the museum. And then we go on to the Tower of Babel, how you would think that Noah and his family would have told his offspring about the flood and that it was a result of God's judgment on sin.
Right.
So you'd think that they wouldn't want to disobey God.
Right.
Well, only about 100 to 150 years after the flood, they decide they're going to build this tower to heaven and they're going to stay in one place and they're not going to spread out over the world like God wanted them to. So God looks down from heaven and he confuses their language mm-hmm. so that they spread out, that those different languages, people would go to different places with the different languages so they could understand each other. And that would split up the gene pool, which accounts for our different cultural groups, different physical characteristics that we have, even skin tones. And we're all the same color skin. We're all a brown.
Yeah.
But the amount of melanin we have in our system
right.
determines whether we're a darker shade of brown or a lighter
and
shade of brown.
And that's where the white paper comes in.
Right.
Right there when you that's hold
right.
the white paper. Now, let me ask you a question to either one of you gentlemen. Do you believe or do you understand that at the Tower of Babel is where our different races, our cultures, and spread from there, do you think?
Well, I would phrase it differently.
Okay.
There's only one race. Because we're all descended from Noah,
I'll give you that.
His wife, his three sons.
I'll give you
so
that.
So there's actually only one race. So I heard of somebody who was filling in an application form for a job, and he didn't like the fact that it said, racial ethnicity or something. So
right.
he put down Adams as his answer.
yeah.
Because there's only one race.
There is, correct.
We're all children of God. And as Dennis said, the differences, cultural differences or physical slight differences. But, the Bible says clearly in the book of Acts that God created human beings all of one blood mm-hmm. or one type. We're all connected together, That's why we can have blood transfusion from a Chinese person or
sure.
a Japanese person or whatever, because we're all of one blood.
Keith, do you remember old Dragnet?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd have the lineup.
Just the facts. Yep.
Think about
identify
it.
Identify the guy.
Think about it for just a moment. Let's just take 100 people. Let's just, from all over the world. Think about it, Keith. And let's line all 100 up. And boy, they all have eyes, hair on the top of their head, blood running in their veins, and a beating heart. And I think sometimes we forget to look at that, and we get so caught up on skin color, the shape of our eyes and other things. Wait a minute. Those are all little adjustments, right, Keith?
Yeah, they're just adjustments.
But yet for us, fingers, toes, hands, what's that
Everybody's
song
got.
That we had in the children's group?
Dennis, take us on through the rest of the museum. And how long does it take typically to do a tour?
About an hour and a half.
Okay.
Right. And so I'm going to skip some things because of time restraints
okay.
here. But
right.
but we go on in the third aisle. We talk about the life of Christ and some evidences, scientific evidences that the Bible is truthful. There are people who have said that the Hittites didn't live or that Pontius Pilate was not real. Well, we have a replica of the stone that was dug up in 1961 that's called the Pilate Stone. And on that inscription of the Pilate Stone, it says, talks about Pilate being the prefect of Judah, which tells me that he was a live person and that he lived in about the time of Christ. And then we go on, we have some things in there. We talk about Moses going on to Mount Sinai and giving the Ten Commandments and getting the Ten Commandments from God and that God wrote those Ten Commandments and that the laws from our nation, the beginning anyway,
right.
Most of those laws were based on the Ten Commandments, which some of them today were as well.
Yeah,
but,
amen.
And then there's a couple of pieces there on that third aisle that I like to point out. And first, it goes back to the Garden of Eden, that we talked about that Satan would bruise Jesus' heel. We have a cast of a human heel with a crucifixion spike in it. Makes it very real to see the pain that would be involved
right.
in that. And then also another thing was when the ground was cursed, God said it would bring forth thorns and thistles. Well, we have a crown of thorns there. and they put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head when he was crucified, which signified he took the curse for us. Then we go through, we have some pictures depicting the life of Christ from his birth, his baptism, his ministry, and his crucifixion. And then I always ask, and what happened 3 days after the crucifixion? That he rose again. Well, we have a replica of the tomb there, but in our new museum, we're planning on building a full-size tomb where you can actually walk in like Peter and John did. And we're really looking forward
to
that.
And then the voice comes on and says, what are you looking for, the dead among the living? Thank you for helping us with that. Mr.
Thanks, Dennis. I appreciate it. Thanks, Rod. Give us the information about this weekend's activities once again, please.
Yes, Friday the 11th from 4 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. and Saturday the 12th from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
And it's free. There'll be speakers. There'll be hot dogs, hamburgers. Yes. Both days for food or just Saturday?
Just Saturday.
Okay, just Saturday.
Yeah, glad you pointed that out.
And that's okay. And it is going to be located not at your current location.
No.
But at the proposed new location.
Correct.
And that is where?
200 Creation Lane.
You can put that in the GPS and it'll get you right there.
It will.
And place to park, will be a place to park there?
On the property, yes. Okay. We've figured out we've got at least 50 parking spaces.
Good. So
cars.
Let me encourage you to do this. You remember how we tell people, don't worry about writing anything down.
Yep.
Go to KLFC Radio, and we got it.
KLFCRadio.com. You can hear this entire interview. And where's your website?
CreationExperienceMuseum.com.
All right. Make sure Darren has that. We'll put a link to that. Does that have all the information about the event this weekend?
Yes, I believe it does.
All right.
Yes.
Very good.
And we're going to tell people, don't worry about knowing where it's at. Pull into the Shell station.
Yeah.
Right. Face your car north.
Yep.
And say, oh,
right across
that must be it across the street.
Yep,
so you don't have to remember much at all. Brandon Williams would be glad that you did that, and especially if you fill up a little gas while you were there.
Hey. Now, does the entrance to the property go off of F or off of the frontage road?
Off of the outer road.
Okay.
Yes.
It's about a quarter mile north of F.
Of F. All right.
Yes.
Very
good.
So get on the frontage road, go a quarter mile, and it's on your right.
Yes,
right.
Correct.
It's been great. Yeah. We always enjoy having you.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, the other thing we enjoy is somebody comes on Monday on time. That's another thing. Mondays are hard.
Yeah, they forget over the weekend.
Keith, is there anything you want to say to me today?
No, I just want to say how good it is to be back with you, and I'm glad that you mentioned the syrup, because we always got to talk about food on this program, Rod. And I gave him a chance to do that.
So. Yes.
Do you feel any urge to apologize or anything?
Well, you know...
No?
No.
Okay. Guys, thanks a lot.
So thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Dennis.
Keep up what you're doing.
Yeah.
Lives are being touched.
Yes, that's the main thing.
And information is being shared that just helps us cement in our own minds. Because I'm going to tell you what, Satan just does not want us to know the facts. And even though we know the facts, look at Doubting Thomas. I could have been Doubting Thomas's brother, I think. Because you just want to see real proof. Well, you're not going to get it. Just look outside at the sun and the stars and the rain, Keith.
Yep. They always come up, same place, every day.
Every day.
And you go and look at something, and there is no way you can say this just sort of happened.
Yesterday, for the song service, we just did them off the cuff, as I would call it. And I sang a little bit of a song that most people don't know, but I think it's good for the Creation Experience days. It says, I see him in the lightning. I hear him in the thunder, and I feel him in the rain.
Amen.
My God is near me all the time.
Absolutely.
Sure, but we're praying we won't have rain.
No rain. No,
no,
no.
No rain. But you got a tent just in case.
Yes, right.
Okay,
we can take a light shower. That's all we want.
Yeah.
See you, buddy.
Cool.
God bless you.
Take care, y'all. Just a little bit.